Okay, Rabbi Yitzhak, today's daf is daf Kuf Gimel, and we're holding the fourth line from the top of the Yomer. And we're continuing to talk about the dinim that apply to landlords and tenants under various situations. So, Omer Rav Nachman, Chaiman de Uyger le Beisel le Chavrei, the Eshishon. Somebody rented out a house or an apartment to someone for 10 years, because of Ishtar, and he wrote Ishtar. Unfortunately, they forgot to put in the date in the shtar. They just wrote in the shtar, renting this apartment, this house to you for 10 years. The omelet. And after a while, the landlord says to the tenant, Nikitas Chomesh Shon. 5 years of the 10 years have already expired. You're welcome to stay another 5 years. We've already gone through 5 years. The tenant, on the other hand, says, no, I was only here for 3 years. I'm entitled to stay for another 7 years. Says the Gemara, who is believed, assuming that there's no other edim or testimony, whatever, no other rayas, then the landlord is believed, and the reason is because the landlord is considered to be the muhsik. After all, it's his property. Since it's his property, if the tenant wants to stay there another 7 years instead of 5 years, hamoitzi mechaveri olav haray. Omer Rav Achel midifti v'ravina. Elamiyata, let me bring a parallel situation. Where Oisvei Meyazuzi Bishtar. They wrote out Ishtar, and it says there that Yankel owes Beryl 100 Zuzi. The Omele, and now Beryl comes to Yankel, no, pay up. He said, Praticha Palga, I paid all half. Hochanami Dimhemen, are we going to believe the individual that says I paid off half without making a Shvur? Obviously, you'd have to make a Shvur. A Shvur is Moedim Mixis Menatoira, he says 50 out of 100. But why don't you go and say, let's look who's the muhsik here. The one that's muhsik in the money is the person that owes the money, because you want to extract those funds from him, and therefore he is the muhsik. So the muhsik mechaveh olvarai would be the malva, the one that lent the money. Do we say that the malva is the one that has to bring the raya? No. So would you say that the loiva is mehemen when he says, yeah, I paid off half? So just like in the case of the real estate, where the maskir says, you already lived here 5 years, we believe him because he's the muhsik in the property. So why don't you say the same thing? That when someone says, I paid off 50 out of $100, he's the muhsik in the money, then the other person, the malva, should be the moitz mechuel of arayah. But that's obviously not the halacha. So in bazoi, it doesn't make sense what you're saying. There's a major difference between the two fact patterns that you're saying. It's true, both of them refer to shtaris, but hasam shtar leguvaynikoi. The whole purpose of a promissory note is to collect on the debt. In isa de pare, if in fact this promissory note had been paid off, even just 50%, so what they should have done is that on the shtar itself, they should have said partially paid. They could have written it under the Chasimoisa Eidim, and have two Eidim sign on that saying, yeah, it's paid 50% today on the third day of Sivan, fourth day of Sivan, whatever it is, and they could have written that and signed that, and then you'd have had proof that he paid 50%. Or Inami, Michtavalei Tavra, make a separate Shoiver, give him a separate receipt saying that I, the Malva, received 50% for the light. So why didn't they do that? That is a tremendous reyesa, which would indicate that no payment was made. Avul Hocha, here in the case of the lease, where the lease says that I am leasing this property to you for 10 years, do you know why the maskir wrote out this shtar? Avul Hocha omalei haidech siva lo shtara. I wrote this shtar kihech deloi tachzik alei, so that you shouldn't be able to go and say after several years, minimum of three, but since this is a 10-year lease, after several years you're going to go and say that the property belongs to you. And people have very short memories. They hardly remember what happened yesterday, certainly not going to remember what happened 10 years ago. So people will assume that the lessee, the tenant, is in fact the owner of this house or of this apartment. So the whole purpose of that shtar is to go and prevent you from going and saying that you have a chazakah. So on something like that, you don't write out receipts and write out on the bottom of the shtar, well, you've already said, already lived there 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. That's not the purpose of this lease. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's why in the case of the collection on the promissory note, there's a reyesa against the loiver who claims that I paid 50%. No, what's your proof? Obviously, you know there's a promissory note against you. You should have taken a receipt. You didn't take a receipt. Zaytzechos, it appears that no payment was made. Ashenkin is the case of the lease. Nobody would expect it to be a receipt or other documentation. And so therefore, if the muchzik says he'd been there 5 years, unless the motzi can prove otherwise, then we have to believe him that it's a 5-year thing, that he was already there 5 years and he has 5 years left.
Who holds the shtar in the case of the landlord? The maskir?
Yeah, the landlord holds it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the case of motzi mitzvah, is it you could have a motzi mitzvah milvah peah, could you not?
You can have a moed mitzvah move out there as well. Correct.
So, are we trying to claim there should be moed mitzvahs in this case here?
No.
Was that even a that's not a hamini?
No, that's not a hamini. Just asking why in the normal moed mitzvah case wouldn't we say the same thing? You have a muchzik and a moed. So not asking that there is an issue. The problem is that here there's an issue. Why would Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, that he would be believed after 5 years? Why is he more believed than the other guy? So he's saying because the land was considered to be the most.
And why is the, and in the case of the loan, the person with the money should be
there? It is the Mosek. So the Gemara says the Chari is exactly the same. So why don't we believe the borrower, since he's holding on to the money, he's the Mosek. If he says, I paid you 50%,
and why we're not making any distinction between Metalton versus
Karkos.
Because
only make a distinction between what the purpose of the Shtar is.
And why then not a distinction?
Zinish for Karkos.
Exactly. Did you hear what Barry said? English born a la karkois. There's no, never a shwan by karkois.
Right, that's supposed to do with mosek.
No, so therefore, in the first case, there's no possibility of someone, oh, I'm going to make a shwa. Shwa is not going to be limal of lemur because English born a la karkois. Therefore, we have to have somebody bringing proof. Who has the burden of proof? Says Rabban Rab Nachman, it's the tenant that has the burden of proof because the mosek is the landlord who owns this property for many years. On the other hand, when it comes to the loan, why don't we say that the borrower is the one that's the mosik? Says the Gemara, because there's a reyes that is a challenge to his position, that if in fact he paid off 50%, he should have taken a receipt. He should have had somebody sign on the original document on the bottom, or gotten a separate paper, separate.
I was saying, because the land is the same land, by, and by the money, it's different money, so therefore there's a distinction there too.
Yeah, no, what you're saying is correct, but the Gemara doesn't make that distinction. Now the Gemara comes up with a very interesting case. Amar Rav Nachman, Shoyel Odom, Betuvoi Li'oilam. What does that mean, Betuvoi? So if you want, we can take a look at the Rashi, which is parallel. Just go up two or three lines. Shalom Betuvoi Li'oilam. Imra Odom Kli Lachaveira. Someone saw that the other person had, for instance, a nice axe, which really looks, it's professional, it's good. V'yomar Hashileini Betuvoi. Do me a favor, I would like to go and borrow it, because of its goodness. Because its goodness means because I see that it's in good shape and that it's wearing and tearing well. It's the type of item that I would like to borrow from you. But he specifically said, I want to borrow betuvai. The omalei, and he said, hem. Yes, you could take it betuvai. Betuvai means as long as it's still strong and good and stark. Sholo li oilam kozman shu roi le malacha. This shoyu now can go and borrow this axe forever, as long as it's still ro'oi fit to continue doing chopping. Tahay betuvai mashmalan, what does the word betuvai mean? Kozman shehu toif, as long as it's still good and stark. Afilu machziroi, even let's say after a week he said already I chopped down one tree, I don't need it anymore. If a year later he says, I'd like to go and borrow that axe again. He can take it whenever he wants. So by adding the word betuvoi, this becomes an open-ended commitment on the part of the mashil to lend this item to the shoyl whenever the shoyl wants to use it. That's the concept. Umar Nachman, shoyl odem betuvoi li oilam. If you go and borrow something and say, I'd like to borrow your axe, betuvoi, that means that you can go and take it forever. The Gemara will point out, surely it's not a matana. However, it's an open-ended promise on the part of the marshal, if the marshal agrees. I mean, the marshal can go and say, oh, forget about it. Oh, I know this too.
He has to give it back. It's not forever.
Whenever he's finished using it, he gives it back. Whenever he needs it again, he asks the marshal, can I borrow it again? And the marshal has to go and give it again, because of his commitment at the beginning that he said, yes, you could take it betuva. And the Gemara gives a couple of conditions. Amar Mori, Barav Bas Shmuel, that's the famous Mori Barav Bas Shmuel, the son of Isser, the Masa, the Yorida, the Gansa Masa. Behu de Koni Minei, but you got to make a kinyan. In other words, yes, Dvorim Ba'alma doesn't do it. However, if the Shoy the Masha make a kinyan on this, and they say, yo, he's showed betuva, we make a kinyan Suder, Kagbog, the Mashiach, whatever it is, then anytime he wants, he can go and borrow it. However, to show that this is still a borrowed item, and it's not that he gave him as a present, if and when this axe ever breaks, he has to return to him. Kate literally means the handle, but Rashi said not just the handle, it also means the pieces. He's used it now 20 times, he's used it now for 10 years, finally it broke, he has to give him back all the pieces. What's the Gemara mean to tell us with this? What it means to say is, says Rashi, if you look at Mahadale Kate, go down one line in the Rashi, the Kishiyiv Chois, Ukishiyiv Chois, if and when it becomes Pochus, in other words, it breaks, Shleihe Roi, that you can't use it any longer, Yasle Shwarath, not just the handle, but all the Shirayim, all the broken items, Dolab Matani Yavai, he didn't come to Matana, Elisha'ila Haba, and he said, Ubetuvai. Betuva means when it's still in its good shape. Unfortunately today it's no longer toiv, it's broken. That's why you have to give him back all the pieces. So now you're saying to yourself, well, since he's a shoyl, shouldn't he be chayiv ba'oinsen that this axe is now broken? And the answer is, Barry, because it's meisa machmas mulacha. Meisa machmas mulacha is a betuva because it says, la bekild se shoyla. I didn't go and borrow this animal to leave it in the barn. I use it to go and work in the field. I didn't borrow the axe to go and leave it in the tool shed. I use it to work with. So therefore, he's off the hook, but he has to go and give back whatever pieces are left, give it back to the mashal. Nushtikl. Omer Rav. Hayman di omele lechavri. Oishlan mora lemirpik bay. Hai pardisa. He says, I want to go and borrow your mora. Mora is a hoe or a shovel. To go and hoe and dig, hyperdesa, this pardis. You see this pardis? This pardis is. This pardis is an orchard, and he said, this orchard belongs to me. I want to go and borrow your shovel to go and do some digging in my pardis. Is Rafik Behul Pardesa? Since he used that expression, I'm borrowing the shovel for purposes of digging in this hyperdesa. Rafik Bey, Ahu Pardesa. If he didn't say Har Pardesa, he said, I'd like to borrow from you the shovel, the Mirfik Bey, Pardesa, leaving out the word Hai, then Rafik Bey called Pardesa Dubai. Then he might have 5 or 10 orchards. He can use this shovel for any one of the orchards because he didn't say Hai, he just said Pardesa. What happens if he says, I'd like to borrow your shovel, the Mirfik Bey Pardesa, which is a plural Lashon, a Lashon Rabin, then Rafik V'ozel called Pardesa the Islay. I might have thought Pardesa Niyot Rabam Shnayim. The answer is, since he says, I want to use the shovel for my orchards, then he can use it for as many orchards as he has. If he has 3, he has 5, for all the orchards that he has. Umahadalei, if at the end of the day, after using it in 5 or 10 orchards, there's nothing left, in other words, it broke, then Malikate, like we said before, he has to give back the handle and the Shwarim to the original Balbus. A similar case, Amra Papa, Haiman di Amale Vachabri, Oishlan Hai Gargusa. I'd like to borrow from you your well, because I want to use it to go and draw the water and irrigate my fields. Benafla, the person agreed to him, yes, you can go and borrow my well, but unfortunately the well collapsed. The walls fell in, presumably it's an old well, 50, 100 years, and the whole thing went kaput. The shoyl has no right to go and build it and say, well, I borrowed your well, therefore I want to rebuild it. No, because once that well is gestorben, then he has no right to go and rebuild it. Rashi says, I only lend to you oisoy, this well. If you're going to dig out a new well, that's no longer the same well that we agreed to. So therefore, the shoyl has no right to go and dig it out and rebuild it. However, if instead of saying Hai Gargusa, he said, I'd like to go and borrow from you Gargusa, a well, Vinofla, and again the Gargusa fell in, Bonilo, then he has the right to go and rebuild it, because since the other person said to him, that I'm lending to you, not this well, but a well, no. So then he has a right to go and dig out that earlier well to be able to go and use it. What happens if he borrowed from him a bay gargusa? What's a bay gargusa? Rashi says bay is like a lashon, if you will, of bias, a mokoim lachbar boy be'er. He goes over to the original person, he says to him, I'd like to borrow a well. And the person says, I don't have a well to lend you. Well, I'd like to borrow a piece of property of yours to dig out a well. No problem. You can go and you see this property over there, corner 91st Street in West End. Go ahead, do whatever you got to, dig a well.
He says, very well.
He says, very well. Well, beautiful. Shkoyach. If there's a well, there's a way. Anyway, is he asked for a bay gargusa. Kori vi ozel kama gargusa bi are ad misrami le. What this person can do is, since he gave him permission to use this property to dig out a well, what happens if he digs and digs and digs and he doesn't find a well? So he'll go 10 feet to the north and dig out another long, deep hole to try to find the well. There's still no well. Keep on going. The entire property you can go and build as or dig as many wells as you will. I'm sorry. But he gave him permission to go and dig out, so he can do it until he finally reaches rock bottom, until he gets to the water.
This is not a benefit for the landowner. He's a zachen let himself the fun of, wouldn't you say? Or when the thing first collapsed, the guy should be delighted on digging back your well, making it even better.
You're talking about in the first case. So if he agrees, no problem. If the person is alive and kicking, he didn't go to London, and Baruch Hashem, he's still here in Olam Hazeh, he hasn't left this world yet. So the Shoyl borrowed from him this particular well. He wants to start using the well, and the well collapsed. Now he has to go and ask the marshal, will you give me permission to go and dig it out and to make a new well? If he says yes, by all means, sure. But if he doesn't, he doesn't have the...
You ask to borrow my well, it collapses, and then you make a new well, but I have no access to my well, and you have access to the well. How's that sound?
Well, eventually you're going to have this as a temporary situation.
It depends how long it doesn't, no time limit on this one.
No, the Gemara doesn't say specifically, but it sounds like he wanted to go and use it for a one-time irrigation of his field, and he says, my well is also dried out. Can I borrow your well to go and irrigate my fields? He says, sure, the well's right here. Come on tomorrow morning, by all means. Comes the next morning, the whole well has collapsed, it's all fallen in. Can he dig it out? If he asks permission, the marshal says, yeah. And the marshal, presumably, as you said, would be delighted. If so, he's intact. The marshal may have had a change of heart, a change of mind. Yeah, that's an issue. I only gave you this well, the well doesn't exist anymore. Make the shalom, and we'll figure out.
I'll make it a stay loving.
Exactly, and finally, on all of these things that we're talking about, this bay gargusa, you can't just keep on digging and digging and digging, unless at the very outset it wasn't just a verbal commitment, but rather they made a kinyan, like we said before, by the axe. You also have to go and make a kinyan, and if he said, yeah, you can go and dig out on this property anyway.
Even if he ruins the entire field.
Exactly. Because after all, he gave him permission to go and dig and dig and dig. Presumably, if he does find at the end the well, it will be beneficial also to the masker.
Because then the masker... It depends how much he digs up the well.
If he gives him permission to cut up fruit tree, it's not allowed to, because it's Aisa Dairaisa.
Yeah,
in the case of the field also, if you ruins the field, it's a Batashkes, it's Aisa Dairaisa. You are ruining an entire field. It's the same as cutting a fruit tree.
Not necessarily, because you can reverse, you can easily reverse the ditches in the field. But you can't restore a fruit tree that's many years old and bearing fruit.
This is
you have a three-year orla, and that's a revi window to wait.
This is not going to make the field worse.
It might, but the field is destroyed.
But after you can restore, once you find the water and you have the well and you fill in all the other ditches, then it becomes a fertile, irrigated field.
Every single digging of the well presumably improves the well if you would find water. You don't know in advance you're not going to find water. So yeah, it's only after you dig up the whole field that you realize it was Baal Kashkes. It's only retroactively Baal Kashkes.
As Man Maisa, it's not a Baal Kashkes action.
Okay, on to the next mission. Zuk the mission. Hamaske Baisa Chaveri the Nofa. Oh, Same type of situation. The person rented out a house to somebody else, and unfortunately, the building collapsed, and he has no place to live in. Chayv lahamid lo bayis. Then he has to go and shtel tzu a brand new house. I mean, brand new, but he has to give him another apartment, another house to live. I think Mor is going to go and what were the details? What did he tell him? He said bayis zeh. What did he tell him? Bayis generally. We're going to get to that shortly. Ho yekotnu yasenu godul yasenu kotn. What's pshat? That since they agreed to a particular house that he's going to rent to him for a year or whatever it was, and the original one fell, he has to shtel tzu a brand new one which is the same character as the first one was. So if the original apartment, the original house was small, he has to give him a small one. If the original one was big, he has to give him a big one. And most of us would say, if it was small, why can't he give him a big one? Because the maintenance of a large house, a large apartment, is much greater than that of a small apartment. So if you only have, let's say, a couple with one child, whatever, you don't want to give them 18 bedrooms. I mean, what are they going to do with it? It's just going to accumulate dust and all types of schmutz and whatever. So, cotton, yes, and a gadol. Gadol, if they had a large home, 10 bedrooms, well, yes, and a cotton. Don't give them a small studio apartment. Echad yasenu shnayim, shnayim yasenu echad. Echad means if it only had one room or one bedroom, don't give him one with two rooms. If there were two, shnayim, you had two, yasenu echad, don't make one.
Sounds like the Risha.
Well, the Risha is not talking particular only about number of rooms. Gadol could be also, you know, high ceilings, small ceilings, and all things of that nature.
It could also be the same size house, but the room's smaller.
Exactly. Oh, see, same thing. You could have five bedrooms, and this says each one is 10 by 10, and here is 3 by 3. Exactly. In the new house that he's shtelling to, don't give him less window, less ear. And don't add. Unless they work it out between the two. Obviously, the masker and the masker says to the soicha, I'm very sorry that your house fell in, but it's not as if I happen to have an apartment building with 80 apartments here. I only have one other house. The one other house is a little bit smaller, it's a little bit bigger. There's one extra window, one less window. Of course, they work out the terms, and that's fine. But otherwise, if you can't work it out, he has to go show to something which is basically the same. So, Frank Mar, when he said at the beginning that the first bias fell in, he has to shtel tzu a second bias. Hey, shut up. Idiomale bias zeh. And then nofal. He said, but this particular, see this one here, corner 91st, what's that? And it collapsed. Puzzle it. Then the whole agreement fell apart. In other words, you rented it for a year, but after 6 months, the house never collapsed. He said, that's it. You know, if he said bias zeh, there's no bias anymore. So the masker is off the hook. Why does it say in the Mishnah he has to chayv lahamid lo bayis ach?
Excuse is at the end that after 6 months, is the socher chayv to pay a prorated rent?
Presumably. Okay. Zok idi omer lo bayis tam. If he just said bayis tam, echad amay lo yasenu shnayim, katan amay lo yasenu gadol. If he said, I want you to rent me a house, and he didn't say this particular house, but a house, and then he rented him a house, and the house rather was large or it was small, and then the house fell in, he should be able to give him another house, even if it's bigger, even if it's smaller, because after all, he did just said bayis. He didn't say bayis zeh. So why did the Mishnah say cotton mit gadol, shnayim mit echad? L'chayim just said stam a bayis. Amay liyasen shnayim, cotton amay liyasen gadol. Oh, amrei shlokish liyam alei bayis, shani maske l'cha midas orkoi kach v'kach. He said to him, Taka, not bayis zeh. He said bayis, but I want you to know that the meets and bounds of this house, or at least the length and the width of the bounds, are kach v'kach.
Some of the square foot.
Exactly. Square footage. Very good. Thank you, Mihawk, and my remember. So that's a double portion. If that's what they wrote in the lease, that I'm renting to you an apartment, a house that has in it 500 square feet.
Well, and when Rish Lakish says Midas Arkov, he's including the windows and the windows.
No, he's just talking.
Because why should the windows go count in the same thing? According to at this point, why would you assume the rest of the Mishnah, the Sefers of the Mishnah? I said 1,500 feet is 1,500 square feet.
Be with us one moment. Let's finish the Gemara and then we'll get to your question. So he said, Yehochi, my member, if that in fact said specifically in the lease agreement that I'm renting to you a house that has 500 square feet, and guess what? Unfortunately, the thing collapses. And of course, he has to give him 500 square feet, because that's what we... It could be 510, it could be 490, but it's got to be approximately the 500 feet. So why are you telling me that... Well, you said a gobble and cotton. It's got double parches. I mean, that's what the lease agreement provided for. That the agreement didn't say meets and bounds and 500 square feet. He said, do you see the house I'm giving you? A house like this. In other words, before they finally signed the lease agreement, the lessee, the tenant, says, can you show me the house? He says, I don't know if this particular house is going to be available. The lease is only going to start in 30 days from now. So I don't know if this house will be available. But if it's not this house, it's going to be something very similar to this house. Ah, so therefore, if afterwards that house and all his other houses collapse, then he has to show too one that is kazeh. What's kazeh? It means cotton and cotton, godel and godel, like we said before. Is the chmaid if he says taka kazeh, then I understand that it has to be kazeh. So what's the chiddush when you tell me you can't make a godel with a cotton? Oh, the house had beautiful scenery. It was a house right on the side of the river, on Riverside Drive, or Central Park, that you were able to see over the entire park or over the entire river, and you would say, Mao the same of my kazeh. What means kazeh? I didn't mean kazeh in terms of the size. I meant the koya gudas and hara, that it's going to have such a beautiful view and such scenery, and all the guests are going to come, wow, I've never seen a park like that. You could see over the entire Central Park and the entire, you could see through New Jersey. So I would think that's what the kazeh comes to tell you. If it tells us a Mishnah, no, that's not what's built in the kazeh. What's built in the kazeh, it's got to be in terms of the size and in terms of the ear space, meaning how many windows do you have, ear coming in, you have light coming in, and things of that nature were very, very basic to living in a house or apartment. Those are the things that you have to show. So, the same size and the number of windows so that you get the light during the day and that you get the ear when you open the windows, etc. Kamash Balan. So I might have thought the kazeh is referring to the scenery. Kamash Balan, no, it's referring to the things that we enumerated in our Mishnah. So that's the chiddush.
How do you explain why, if he has a small house, why would he object to having a large house? If you have a one bedroom, we're going to give you a five bedroom.
It's because you live in Manhattan where you're always starved for space.
No, but
if you have two larger houses, if you have two large houses, it's a burden. If you have two larger houses, you have a lot of empty rooms that you have to maintain and heat in the winter and pay for
and cooling during the summer.
And it's a burden.
Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Okay, Hanlachashoil, the Shoil's questions are answered, and we continue on to brand new paragraph. I say, Hamakabos and Machaberi. Person was Makabel. Makabel typically is a Russian of Arisus, the Mechza, the Shlish, the Revia. The sharecropper goes and takes a certain percentage. Rashi Grada says on this particular Mishnah that Lavdafka Arisus, the same thing also applies to Chakirus. Chakirus means that you go and pay a set amount. We think in terms of paying a set amount in money. Chakiris in the times of Chazal usually meant paying a certain amount in kind. So for instance, if you're dealing with a Soda Lovan, where you're growing Tavua, so he would tell him, regardless of whether this year is a bounty year, where you're going to be able to go and produce twice 1,000 bushels, or whether it's a Shvacha year, you're only going to be able to produce 500 bushels, but you have to go and pay me, come heaven or high water, you got to go and pay me 50 bushels for the year. Whether that means 10% or means 1%, makes no difference. That's the concept of chakiris, that you go and pay a fixed amount. Okay, we're going to talk about Mirchim tomorrow at the top of the Yomid, whether this idea of arisus or chakiris applies throughout our parak or only to our mission. Anyway, so Makabos and Mechaber, a person went and accepted a field from someone else to work in the field. Now, it's harvest time. Mokim Shinohagul Liktar, Yitzar, Laakar, Yakar, Lachrish Akrav, Yachrish, Hisha has to be Chayish. What does this mean? Well, now it's harvest time. So now there are two minhagim, if you will. One minig is that you do ktsira. Ktsira means to go and cut it with a sickle, which means by definition you're going to leave a little bit stubble behind on the ground or in the ground. Akira means to uproot the whole thing and take out with its roots, leaving nothing behind. So therefore, in those makaymis, the minig was that, for instance, if you're working in a grain field, that everybody plucks out the grain, takes it out, bakal mikokol, that's what you got to do. If the local custom is to go and harvest it with a sickle, that's what you got to do. Why would it be better or worse doing one or the other? We'll see in the Gemara momentarily. As far as Lachrish Achrav, anytime you go and harvest in a field, then you could have some weeds and other undesirable growths in the field, where you tell the guy, since this is, you're now concluding the harvest season, I want you to go not only cut all the wonderful tool and bundle it, but also cut all the weeds and pull out the weeds, so that Mirch Hashem, in another couple of months, when we're going to start again from square one, we're going to do the normal Harisha and the Zriya, it's going to be much easier because you've taken away all those problematic things.
Undesirables.
The undesirables. Exactly right. So if that's the minig, then Yachrav, you got to do that. So if you took it with kablonis or hakiris, that's implicit in the contract, even if it's not specified, that's the minig amok. How could the minig amdina? Another hakul minig amdina, kishim shachokin betuaka, chokin beteven ubekash. That at the end of the season, the sharecropper, for instance, is taking his, just make it easy, mechtza, he's taking 50%. Not only does he take a mechtza, 50% of the actual tzvua, but also the temen of akash, which refers to the straw and the chaff that falls down when you're doing a ktsira or an akira, you get 50% of that as well. Kishem shecholkin b'yayin, kacholkin b'zmoyrois, u'bekonim. If somebody is, for instance, an oris in a vineyard, so just like he gets, let's say, 50% of the wine, if he gets 50% of the vines, which you cut at the end of the season, you cut the vine and you took that with all the clusters of grapes, and you took it to the wine press, everybody, meaning not only the owner of the vineyard, but also the worker in the vineyard, he gets 50% of his mayrais. Ubekanim, what exactly are kanim? So Rashi explains, as we'll see in the Gemara, if any of you have ever been to a vineyard, as you know, the vines would typically just drag on the ground with the clusters of grapes growing on the ground, and they would get all dirty, wormy, rotten, the ants and the other animals would eat it, blah, blah, blah. So what do they typically do in vineyards? They go and plant poles, if you will, in the field, and then you hang the vines from the poles. I think those vines are called trestles or whatever fancy name they have for
trellis,
it. Trellis. Oh, not trestle, but trellis. Thank you very much. And then the clusters of grapes hang down. So says our Mishnah, when it comes time for splitting up the poles, then the oris gets 50% of the poles as well. What's the reason? Says the Mishnah, because Hushnei Mesapkin is a kanim, because both of them bought the kanim originally, meaning every single year apparently they put in these brand new kanim. Could be today they don't do that anymore, maybe today they have, you know, a permanent kanim, they take metal ones or whatever, chweiss nicht. But at least in those days, whenever they start a new planting season, they would bring in new kanim, and therefore at the end, and who paid for it? Both the oris and the balbus, since both of them paid for it, then they both split it at the end of the season.
Isn't that possible?
Yeah, 100%. And what you're mechavin to is the kasha of the Gemara at the very end. If you look right before the Mishnah, Shnei Mesapkin Sekonim, Lomali, what does the Mishnah have to tell us for? Sechadava Pashid. Okay, so Mitzvah, in another couple of minutes, we'll get there. Zok Dimar. We started at the beginning of the Mishnah, Mokish Nagaliktzer, and Ershah Lakar, etc. We learned the Bryce, Mokish Nagaliktzer. The Mishnah didn't say those terms. The Mishnah said, Mokish Nagaliktzer, Yiktzer, Lakar, Yakar. So now the Bryce explains it a little bit further. Tana Mokish Nagaliktzer, and Ershah Lakar. If that's the minigam mokum to go and do ktsira, to cut with a sickle, you have no right to pluck it out. If the minig is lakar, in Ershah Lakar. Ushnei ma'akvin ze al zen. And it's both the owner of the property. And the oris can be ma'akiv on the other one to say, I want to follow the minig hamak. Zoktimar, lichter en rishor lakar. Why? Because hai omer be'ina de titfin li aroi. The owner of the property says, I don't want you to go and do the akira, the plucking out. I want you to do the ktsira. Because when you do a ktsira, by definition, there's always some stubble left in the field. And I like that stubble in the field. Why? Because after that, when there's going to be some rain or some moisture, and there are going to be animals passing through, a combination of all of that will be good fertilizer for the field that's going to start off with that straw and with the manure and whatever, and that's going to be great for the next season. So therefore, if you're going to be oiker, you're going to take everything out. It's just going to be earth and stones or whatever. This way, you'll have that the titli aroi, there'll be some tevin, which will be the beginning of next year's planting season for the fertilizer. Bahai Omar, now this is the owner of the property, says, I don't want you to be oiker. Bahai Omar, loy metzina. Here the tenant, not the tenant, the sharecropper, the oris, can also say, I don't want to do the akira. Why? Because le metzina, I can't. Le metzina, it's too difficult for me. I'm prepared to go and do the ktsira, to take a sickle and to cut the tour. That's relatively easy. To pluck out, pull out of the tour, that requires almost Herculean type of strength. I don't have that strength, I can't do it. So that's why each one can be ma'akif. Now let's go faket. Lakar, if the minig amokim is lakar, and rishalitza, then neither of them can say, I want to do tzir. Obviously, prior to beginning the work, they can have a sharecropping agreement where they agree to change from the minig amokim. This is not, you know, tying mitzvahs. So if they agree, lakiro, lakitiro. But here we're talking about they didn't speak about it. He just appointed them to be the sharecropper. Now it's harvest season. If the minig amokim is lakar, they're not allowed to do tzir. Why not? Because haim omar, pina di tinoker aroi. Here you have that the owner of the property says, I don't want you to do tzir. I want you to do the minig amokim of akira, because I want to have a clean property, that anybody that passes by and says, wow, there's no stubble left, everything is crystal clean, I want you to do the minig amokim of the akira. Bahai omar, and the other one can also insist, that the sharecropper can insist, I want to do an akira. But in a tivna, because since we said in the Mishnah that they split not only the actual tour, but also the fall off in the forms of the tevin, the straw. I want that straw. I need the straw for cattle fodder for my animals, or I want to manufacture fertilizer for my field for next year. So, therefore, Ushnei Ma'akvin Zelza. Now, Frank Timara, we just said that Liktzer, why do we have to add the additional word Shnei Ma'akvin? We already explained. Each one can be Ma'akvin on the Minika Ma'akvin. Lamali. So, Timar Ma'atam Kama. The word Shnei Ma'akvin Zelza is giving a reason. Ma'atam Liktzer Enu Sholakha. The reason why you cannot change single-handedly on your own the minig amokim, you have to have a meeting of the mind, because the halacha is each one can be ma'akid, because each one has a certain financial interest in the outcome, whether it's ktsira or whether it's akira. So since you assume that you go with the local custom until people negotiate otherwise, so if at the end, during the harvest season, one of the two parties wants to go and change it, the other one can say, no, I want to keep it the way it was and the way it is throughout the community for the reasons that the Gemara just gave. Lachrish achav yachrish for Gemara pshitim, and if that's the minig amokim, of course, then you have to do charish. It's one of those places where during the planting season, the whole winter season, loy menachshi, they don't do any pruning or weeding. And this sharecropper, the Nochish, he did a freebie, and he did do pruning and weeding throughout the entire season. And therefore, Mao the same, I might have thought, Amalei, now at the end, during harvest season, he says, you know the reason why I did the pruning and weeding throughout the season? Because I want to avoid doing this back-breaking plowing at the end of the season, because the whole purpose of the plowing at the end of the season, as you said before, was because of the undesirables. I already removed 50%, 80%, 90% of the undesirables throughout the season, so therefore I didn't want to have to do this plowing. If that was your kavana of doing the nichush, to be able to go and avoid the harish at the end, no, you should have negotiated, you should have told them, Yanko, I'm going to do nichush for you. It's free because nobody does nichush throughout the community. I'm going to do it, but it's al menas not to have to do the charish. He didn't say that, so he's stuck. Hakul minig abdina. Everything is like the minig din. Frank Timar, hakul asuyim. What does this hakul come to include? Asuyim to nevan. What it says in the Brayse. Mokashenu agu lehaskir ilonois al gabi karka maskir. Mokam sheinu agu lehaskir ein maskir. What does that mean? The word over here, lahaskir ilanis, is not literally to go and rent out trees. What he means is, what happens if a person, gesundheit, you're welcome, person has rented out a piece of property, and the purpose of that piece of property is to go and plant in it, it's a stelovan, to go and plant in it grain. The ground, there happen to be a few fruit trees here, there, and dispersed throughout that entire property. There was no kalayim issue. And now the issue is, who gets the benefit of the fruit from that tree? Because vis-a-vis the rest of the field, he's going to have to go and plow, and he's going to have to seed, he's going to have to put fertilizer, he's going to have to irrigate, and blah, blah, blah. These trees are going to be made on nests. Once the tree grows, it grows forever until the life expectancy of trees. But it's not the same thing as your normal fruits, vegetables and grain, where you have to plant it and plant it every year again and again and again. The fruit trees, they produce fruit year after year on their own. That doesn't mean you shouldn't prune them and it shouldn't go and add water. No, bother, bother, but it's not necessary, even if you don't. In our bungalow colony, year after year, we come back, Baruch Hashem, there are a few, it's a pear tree over there, there's an apple tree over there. Nobody worked on it throughout the year, and they're apples and pears. Whether they happen to be, the best quality that you can sell in the store, that's a different story. But they are edible, and especially if you cook them, etc., you can make a compote. So the question is, if a person rented leased a piece of property, a field, for a year, for 5 years, whatever, what's the story? Does he get the benefit not only of planting and using the property, but does he also, and getting the payers, and then getting the crop, does he also have the benefit of the payers from the trees? So, it's a different minhag. Turn about, mokim shenhag lahaskir ilonis, al gabi karka, maskir. Those places where the ilonis would come along for the ride, when you are maskir the karka, you automatically get the benefit of the trees, then maskir, then you get the benefit. Mokim shenhag lahaskir, ain't maskir. Those places where, no, the landlord says, I retain the right to all the payers on the tree. You don't do any work for that. It grows on its own. I retain it. So then I maskir. So you don't get it automatically. So I mean, if that's the meaning of mokum, and they didn't say otherwise, then what's the chiddush over here? Of course he's going to get the benefit of the fruits. To what is this all about? So says our Gemara, we're talking about not just the regular lease, we're talking about, in fact, a recent sharecroppers. What's the story about the sharecroppers? That when you have a sharecropper, then of course they here it's talking about, as we'll see in a moment, that we normally think of the oris taking the smaller portion, that's the 25, the 33, or the 50%. Here it's the other way around, that the owner of the property was taking the smaller portion and giving the sharecropper the greater portion. And see, therefore, says Imar, that throughout the community, most of the people, when they have a sharecropping arrangement, they say to the oris, oris, I, the landowner, will take one third, and I'm going to give you the oris two thirds. Va'ozel iyo, and this fellow, the yave beriva, he said to him, even though everybody in the community does this one-third, two-thirds relationship where the oris gets two-thirds, I'm going to go and take for myself just a quarter, and I'm going to give you three-quarters. Wow! So I would have thought, says the Gemara, now the same with the Amalei, Haidabatsulcha, you know the reason why I took so little, and I gave you so much, three-quarters instead of two-thirds, Adaitula Yehivna Loch B'Ilanes, so that at least I keep all the fruits of the tree, and you get a much larger portion in the grain or in the irakis, whatever. So I might have thought, Kamash Malan, you buy me the frushele. If that's in fact what you want to do, then make it up in advance. Tell him, I'm giving you a larger percentage of the crop, but I keep all the fruit. If you didn't say that, Mokshim Shinog Lahaskir, Maskir. And now the Gemara says the opposite, Mokshim Shinog Lahaskir, Shaloy Lahaskir, Ein Maskir. Again, Pshita, Chadova Pashit, if that's the meaning of Mokshim. Leitzvich Likulyam Likabli Beriva, or on the side it has a Girsa Berivasa, meaning that the Bala Karka takes normally just a quarter, and he gives to the Oris three quarters. The Ozl Iyo Vekibla Petilza, and here, the sharecropper, instead of just taking a quarter, I'm sorry, instead of leaving just a quarter with the owner, he leaves him with a third. In other words, the sharecropper is being very generous. I'm not going to take my normal standard three quarters. I'm only taking two-thirds. So how to say ma'amalei, that afterwards the sharecropper can go and say, hey, you know why I give you this great amount? Instead of giving you just a quarter, I gave you a third. I'd like to obviously be honest, because I figured you'd be magnanimous towards me too. After all, quid pro quo, I'm giving you, I'm being so nice to you, I think you'd be nice to me, and you'd give me the payers of the Elon. You want to make up negotiated terms, spell it out, write it in the contract, otherwise everything goes kemining hamadina. Now you're wondering to yourself, how come throughout Shas we always get that sense that the Mechta Shushra Vi is that the sharecropper gets the lesser portion, and here he gets the greater portion. So that's the top Toysis discusses this. Vazahu the Toysis. Tema, the Hocha Masha the Balabai Shakal Pochis Mena Aris. Ubakalduchi throughout Chas Mashish Aris Naito Pochis. Kinamina Bemisha Ofsi and Gitten. Kuliamadolu Klas, Vishakli River. Vat dli arba v'shakol tilza or the kambe birka nami amrin and oris emel matzi irati balabais or mishmish iratative only a third not a half mashi oris rogel lito pachas v'lo yois b'yishlonim edoch irish oris no yisein zera that he gives not just his work and his
he puts in capital
no yisein zera, he's the one that buys the original
seed capital.
Etc. So the point is, if he's just offering his services and he's going to work in the field, yeah, then typically he gets less. But in addition to services, he's also paying for the capital, he's financing that, he gets a larger portion. So it all depends on what the negotiated terms were, what he's supplying, etc. Okay, back to the Imai. 5-6 lines before the wide lines. They split not only the fair to get full, but also the straw. Amr of Yosef, Bibavul Nehigo, Tlehavi Tivna Larisa. Our Mishnah again was talking about Hakkal Kamini Kamakoin. By Umzim Babel, says Rav Yosef, the meaning is that they do not give Tevin, they don't give straw to the owners. The only one that takes the Tevin is the owner. And very often, the sharecropper, after the first harvest, leaves and he says, well, that's the last straw. Because he's not getting any straw, he's getting all the straw with the landowner. He says, I'm not going to continue. Anyway, that was just intended to be a pun. Where shall we? Anyway, the point is, that they typically do not give Tevin to the artist. Pray tomorrow, the mind asking, why is Rabbi Yosef telling us this? The Ike Inish, the Yoev, if you find someone above who is sharing the Tevin with his artist, you should know, Ayin Yafu, this person is an exception to the rule, a person who is magnanimous. But don't automatically say, what are you telling Minigamaka? Yanko Smith, he gives a tevin to his artist, and I'm sure that's the way you should do it. So it's not an Indian of that's a nice thing to do, a good thing to do, a bad thing to do. Rav Yosef is telling us the standard Minigamaka is not to give tevin. You want to give tevin? Gesundheit. But don't bring me rayas from Yanko Smith or Beryl Jones that they do or they don't. The meaning is not to give, you want to give Gesundheit. Now, Umar of Yosef, until now we're talking about in splitting up at the end of the harvest season. Now we're going to talk about who has the duty to supply at the beginning of the season. This is another member. We have three members in a row of Umar of Yosef. This is the second member. The first one was about the splitting of the Tevin in Bavel, where the meaning was not to give Tevin to the artist. Umar of Yosef, Bukhra, the Tafta, the Arkavta, the Koni, the Chizra, the Balabais. The Chizra Gufe is the Arisa. What does all of that mean? So Rashi tells us that the minig was to the line of demarcation to show where the field begins and ends is that around the perimeter they used to go initially dig out a ditch, fill that up with offer, with sand, and then when that would eventually settle, they'd add a second level of sand, and if and when that settled, they'd add a third level of sand. The word bukhra is... You're not a substitute. You're... Okay, anyway, you're certainly not a replacement because you're irreplaceable. Okay, anyway, I'm going to...
And he's irreplaceable.
Yeah, also, we mentioned your name about a minute ago because someone made a very poor pun, and we were hoping you'd be there. The last straw, exactly. Anyway, Bukhra is from the Russian.
Where there's a well, there's a way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
Well, less narrow line on the summer base.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Omer of Yosef, Bukhra, Bukhra is from Loshen Bukhair, that's the initial offer of sand that you put down as your line of demarcation split between your field and the other guy's field. The Tafta is from Loshen Tisefes, that's the second level of gravel or ground that you put on top. And then once again, when these settle, Varkafta. Varkafta is like if Harkafta al Trey Rikshi, the Gemara said. That means it's like a rechev where the third is now riding on top of the original two, put the two amounts at offer that were put there on the side of the field. The Kani de Chizra means that they wanted to go and build a fence, so you have the poles of the fence that you put into the ground, and then around those poles, then they would go and weave around it thorns or other types of things as an obstacle that people would not go into.
Barbed wire.
Barbed wire. I don't know if they had barbed wire at that time. The barbed
thorns,
wire.
Thorns.
Okay, anyway, whatever it is. The Kone Techizu, that's the Balabais. Who has to supply all that offer and the standing poles? That's the Balabas. The Chizra, however, the thorns, Gufe, that you weave around the poles, that the Arisa, the Oris has to supply. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi is about four or five lines before the wide lines in the Gemara. Bukhra, Tafta, Arkafta, Kone Techizu, the Balabais. Sviva Sasoda, around the perimeter of the field, Oisin Charitz, first they go and make a ditch, then Oisin offer Ala Meitza, and then they go and fill it up with offer on the border, Lahagbiya Svivoisev, to make it higher. Well, Acher Zman, and after a while, Kishin Nidash, when people tread on it, animals step on it, then of course it gets kind of compacted and gets lower. Choizu Moisev Olav offer Sheis, and now he adds the Totefta, the Tafta, he adds now the Tosefis, the second level. Bechein Shlishin, the same thing happens a third time. Rishon Kori Bukhra, like a Bukhar. Asheni Tafta, from Lashon Riboy, the Matfile, he's adding a Tosefes. Vashlishi Kori Arkafta, because it's riding on the original two additional amounts, the two amounts of offer that he put down initially. The Konim Techizu, those are the Konim Sheniatsim Baritz that you stick into the ground. Larig Boy Koitim, to weave around them thwarts. Oinasarim, or to put up planks. Sviva Sasoda, around the field. That's the Balabais. Olov Yitzia Zoi Slasis. He's got to pay for that. So when you have a sharecropping arrangement, they just bought a brand new field, he calls the sharecropper says, hey, well, where does this field end? So it's the landlord, it's the owner of the field that has to go and supply the perimeter by supplying these things that we just discussed. However, Chizr Gufe, HaKoitzim She'orgin Moisav V'Akonim, that is Davi. So the artist has to go and supply the Koitzim. Apparently, the Konim alone do a nice job in terms of a line of demarcation. However, in terms of shmira, to keep the animals out and keep the ganovim out, somebody has to add the thorns. That's the oris's job. Klola de milta, back to the Gemara, first white line. What's the general rule? Kol ikar balma de balabais. Ikar balma, says Rashi, is the ikar shmira, that everybody, that's the absolute minimum that the balabas has to do. The Rusi said, you want something special, you want additional, that's their risa. Because really for the oris's benefit, the oris doesn't have to keep on chasing out any rodents, any squirrels, any whatever, that come by, mice, what have you. And so this, that's his job, so therefore he wants to put up the additional koitzim, zintaitzi, he has to pay for that himself. The Omer of Yosef, Mora uzvila v'davla v'zanuka d'valabais, Arisa Ovid be'yoyri. Every time you have a field, you need to irrigate the field, unless you are zoicha to live in an area where it's constantly raining. But otherwise, you typically have to irrigate the field by bringing water to the field. So, mor uzvila. Mor uzvila, one is a hoe and one is a shovel to dig into the ground. The davla means a bucket to go and draw water from the well or from the river or wherever. The zanuka is a smaller container. Actually, it's a noid lamalis. In those places where they didn't draw water with a big bucket, and they took a zarnuka. So all those are balabais, and balabais has to supply that. Now, the owners, of course, would prefer not having to go and schlep the water from far away. If he wants to make irrigation ditches or canals, that's the owners' duty, Arisa Avid Beyoyra. That's part of his job, to make these irrigation canals. They also split up not only the vines in the field, but also the kanam, the shtekalach, the pold. What kanam are you talking about? kanim are these pot, hamachlokim, which means that they would remove the bark, take, you know, a thin tree, remove all the bark, and now you have the middle, you have a pole of wood, and they would, after scraping off and removing the bark, then they would plant it into the ground. I don't mean planting in terms of planting, but, you know, noyitz, to stick it into the ground. Shemamina sekvanim, on top of that, you would have the trellises of the clusters of grapes. Ushnei misapkin is a kanim. So our distinguished guest already asked before, why does the Mishnah have to say shneim that they have to supply it? The Tumalomali, what do I need these words for? Matam kama, the Gemara is explaining. Why do they both split not only the trellises, the vines, but also the kanim? So Tumal, I'll tell you why. Shneim matam, shneim chokim, the kanim, shneim misapkin is a kanim. Because they both bought the kanim together, so at the end of the season, the landlord shouldn't say, well, you were just mafker it and you left it here. No. Just like the landlord has the right to go and split the kanim, then the owner has the right to take 50% of the kanim as well, since after all he paid for it initially. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. You continue mentioning.